Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask and receive the ministry of your word again tonight in revelation, full disclosure of your spirit. We ask that it's a manifestation of your spirit, the move of your spirit in every heart as your word proceeds forth with strength. I pray tonight and I receive for everyone here that our strength of will and acting on the word, walking in God's plans and purposes, is what I established and what I strengthened. We ask that there's no error in the teaching, there's no error in our understanding, but every man together as a church, built up together, knitted up together in our hearts, as one man will be, O Jesus. And as we see him, we see ourselves as he sees on the knee. We ask tonight, the questions in our hearts are answered as your word proceeds forward with power. No opinion, no experience, no nuances, no contrary thoughts, perceptions, survive the authority of your word. But everyone, be obedient as your word gains ascendancy and lordship over everything. We ask tonight, all that needs to be said by your spirit will be said. All that needs to be heard, we have received to walk in. Our walk of faith, our walk of love is made much more stronger tonight by the ministry of the word and by the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask this for our church in the name of your Son Jesus Christ and your church days. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel is our text again tonight. We're looking at relationships as we have been for the past couple of weeks, maybe even months. Hallelujah. In Matthew's Gospel 28, Jesus gave instructions, which is our anchor text, to his disciples. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We saw the word teach there, as rendered by some of our translations here, is the word to make disciples. Hallelujah. To make disciples. So we said that we have that God-given responsibility to make disciples. I hope I'm loud enough. I feel I'm not. But it's fine if I am. Can everyone hear me audibly? Right? Okay. So he says to go make disciples. And then we said a number of things already about making disciples. Hallelujah. And in the light of our study, we said making disciples involve communicating perspectives. Right? 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 So we said there's what we call God's perspective to life and to living. That's what discipleship is about. Communicating God's perspective. So there's the way God sees it. Hallelujah. There's the way God sees it. There's the way there's the way God thinks about it. There's the way God sees it. So to see it God's way, that is discipleship. Amen? Right. So we said Matthew 18. So we said concerning relationships, how we ought to see one another, you know, Matthew 18. In verse 15, Jesus teaches forgiveness and love walk. There is no love walk without forgiveness. Hallelujah. In fact, walking in love is explained as two things in the epistles. To walk in love, which is to walk in the spirit, to walk in the light, meaning those are synonymous terms. So walking in love is taught as two things, giving and forgiving. Are we together? So there is no walking in love. Look at it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Are we together? Are we together? And in that giving of his only begotten Son, we see forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, look at this. What is forgiveness? Look at forgiveness. Look at forgiveness. Now, giving is that maybe I gave a material thing, right? Let's say I gave money to someone who has a need. That's walking love. So has a need, and I have the resource. Sometimes it's not just money. It could be an information. You give out an information that is able to bless the fellow. You give out information. Praise God. You give out an information that is able to bless someone. Now look at forgiveness. Forgiveness means to give out a relationship. That's forgiveness. To give a relationship. So I give you a relationship. Are we together? So I give you a relationship. Or I give you a relationship with me. I give you an opportunity to walk with me. That's forgiveness. So you do something that, you know, probably breaks the contract of agreement. In other words, in this relationship, this is what is expected of me, and this is what is expected of you. Now, you breach the agreement. So instead of me taking away the relationship, I let it be. So I still led you to have the relationship. Are we together? So that is forgiveness. So it is all rooted in giving. So you cannot have walking in love, or you cannot walk in love without giving and without what? Forgiving. Two things. Walking in love. It has to do with giving. It has to do with what? Forgiving. Praise God. So Jesus spoke about forgiveness in Matthew 18. Now, the question, you know, which was also our anchor text in Matthew 19, was then built on Jesus' teaching of forgiveness. So he said in Matthew 19, which is our text now, it says, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, right? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He said unto him, why did Moses then command to give the writing of divorcement? That's a divorce letter. You know, he says, to put her away. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so. So God never intended it that the man and the woman will separate. Are we together? Does God permit it? Yes. Is that God's intention? No. And I told us a long time that we must be careful as Christians. We must be careful of what God permits. We don't do things because God permits it. No. We do things because that is his intention. Because now he said there, he says, that is not how God designed it to be. He says, but because of the hardness of your heart. You know, so he said, a Christian is not supposed to be stubborn. When it comes to God's plans and purposes, a Christian can be stubborn. A Christian can be stubborn. And I told you that when Christians are stubborn, when a Christian is stubborn, when a child of God, a believer is stubborn, you know, it implies that God will have to permit what you are doing. He will have to permit what you are doing. And I told you it's because he will not violate your will. God will not violate your will. You see, even the most important gift of God to the whole world, which is salvation, it doesn't violate man's will for that. As important as salvation is, that means when people go to hell, they go to hell willingly, though stupidly. So you can willingly do something, but you did it out of stupidity. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So because he says in Mark 16, for example, he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So salvation is a choice. So there are many things that in our lives, they are choices. Are we together? God will not violate your will. You know, and when God makes something, you know, subject to your will, it doesn't remove his sovereignty. Let me put it that way. The fact that God allows you to do something as an act of your will does not make him not to be sovereign. Are we together? So, for example, someone say, oh, if God is as powerful as you see or as you think, why is there evil in the world? They are mutually exclusive realities. Like I told us, was it on Sunday or last Thursday, that God has put the affairs of the earth under the oversight of man. And that is how he has decided to do it. And I told you that man, therefore, will have a healthy sail on the earth when man understands God's intention for the earth and man yields to that intention. But it is the earth is. The earth is. So, the fact that something is subject to my will does not take away from God's sovereignty. In fact, it explains it, that God is sovereign. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this also. In matters, in areas that God has given man the ability to choose, oftentimes, it will look like, now look at this. Look at this. Notice that when God says, I want you to choose this, are we together? Pay attention. It doesn't violate man's will. But it communicates his intention to who? To man. But the intention he has communicated to man is for man to do what? To choose. Now, if you are not careful, it's going to look like the other one, which is not his intention, is also going to look like a choice. Are we together? A very good example is that we go out to preach the gospel today. We go to preach the gospel. And then, in the hearing of the gospel, there is an option to believe, right? Or not to believe. Now, why would God inspire the gospel to be preached? He wants men to believe. That's his intention. But you see, he doesn't violate man's will. So, look at where it now looks very tricky. Unbelief now looks like an option to man. Because God did not violate man's will, God did not enforce, are we together, the message of man. So, unbelief looks like an option. Amen. But definitely, if you choose unbelief, does it have its consequence? So, disobedience has its consequence. Because God has given man a will, and God has decided that man will act on his plan as man's choice, because God has given man the ability to choose, does not mean you should think some things are choices that you can make. Because God has given you the ability to choose, does not qualify certain things as healthy choices. Are we together? Are we together? Sometimes, what makes something to look like a choice to you is simply because God has chosen not to violate your will. So in the real sense of it, it is not a choice. But the presence or the possession of will makes it look like what? A choice. But it is not a choice. Unbelief is not a choice in that sense, right? Can I get a response? Wait. Is unbelief a choice? Or does unbelief look like a choice? Yes. But is it really a choice? No. So it looks like a choice because man has what? Has been given what? The will to choose. And I told you something. Why then does God give man the will to choose? God gives man or humanity the will to choose because he wants serving him, obeying him, to be worshipped. The moment I take away the element of a choice or the will of man, it is no more worship. Are we together? It is no more worship. So, when it comes to walking with God, that we see here, Moses said, because of the stubbornness of your heart. God doesn't want the believer, or the believer ought not to be stubborn. It looks as though you have a will, it looks as though you have a choice. But the real sense of it, what made it a choice to you is because there's a stubborn heart. If my heart was not stubborn, I would not perceive that as an option. I perceive it as an option worthy of choice because the heart is stubborn. Are we together? So look at this. God's word ought to be my only option. That is the Christian. God's word. So in fixing the relationship, he takes them into God's word. So technically, can we say that the giving of the bill of divorcement is God's word? Can we say it's God's word? Now, the intention to never divorce, is it also God's word? So you have to be careful why you now have a permission. You got to be careful. Why do you have this permission? Why do you have this permission? It could just be because you're backsliding. But there's always the repercussion of not acting on God's intention. Are we together? We said that, I just failed to mention that by the side, okay? So in Genesis 1, which is our text, it says male and female. So we say that God has created man to function in his image or as his image. Don't forget the word Samu, right? Which is where you have the word Selem. To function as his image, his likeness. So, what have we said? We said, was it on Sunday? We mentioned a dysfunctional human being, right? So who is a dysfunctional human being? Who is a dysfunctional human being? I gave you certain relationships on Sunday. What relationships did I give on Sunday? I gave you marital relationships, right? Number two. Friendships, right? Number three. Nope. I gave you a definite group of relationships. Nope. I gave you definite group. I know where you are speaking from. And then we just, thank you, Pastora. Are we together? What next? Brotherhood, right? Thank you. I gave you a specific list. Except you didn't write it, or you wrote your thing. Alright? And that's why some people have it in that sequence, and they are telling me now. The first one is what? Marital. Okay, second one. Thank you. That's the sequence. Third one. Good. Thank you. What? Next one. Thank you. Next one. Thank you. Next one. Next one. already told you what master. Someone said employee, but I explained that that's master slave. Right? I explained that. What else? I gave one more. You didn't write it. Okay. I won't give you. All right. So, but I said that relationships are now collected in who? In who? In Christ. So he corrects the relationships. In Christ Jesus, how relationships ought to be is what? Corrected. On what basis? On the basis that Jesus is the image of God. And in him is also what? The image of God. Are we together? So he is the image of God, and the man in him is in the image of God. So Jesus Christ is the image of God, and the man in him. Jesus Christ and the man in him is the image of God. So in the image of God will all relationships be fixed. Thank you. I hope you understand that statement. We dwelt on it a lot on Sunday. I told you, don't miss services, don't miss Sunday services, don't miss Thursday services, don't miss prayer meetings. Be in how many? All. Alright, that's how to be a good Christian. You're just going to be confused if you miss teaching services. You're wondering, when did they say this? You have knowledge gaps. You know how to fill it up. Are we together? So, in Christ, we see the image of God. In Christ, we see the image of God. Open your Bibles. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 quickly. Just read. I just want you to read. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Are you there? Is everyone there? So, everyone read together. One, two, go. The glorious gospel of Christ, which is what? So, he calls Christ the what? The image of God. So, let us make man to function in our image. He says, at the end of times, at the end of the ages, he says, Christ is that image. Are we together? Christ is that image. Jesus, Christ Jesus, is that image. Is that image. Hallelujah. What other text can you see? Look at Romans. I think you find that in Romans chapter 8. No. You have the word firstborn there. Firstborn. I'm not looking for firstborn. I'm looking for image. Look at Colossians. Colossians. You have the word firstborn, which is also image. Okay? Alright. It's also an image. It's also image. It also explains the word image. But I'm looking for the word image. So it's in Colossians chapter 1. Okay? Look at verse 15. Colossians 1:15. Read on. Who is what? So who is that image? Can you read the verse before then? Oh, you don't even know in whom. Who is the whom? Read in the previous verse again. Oh, who is the who again? Read the previous verse again. So have you seen Christ Jesus? Have you seen Christ Jesus? Have you seen Christ Jesus in verse what? 12. Oh yeah, read verse 12. He has made us to be partakers of the inheritance in what? Of the saints in Christ, right? So, in the light. Are we together? Now, read the next verse. So, the dear son is the one in whom we have what? Redemption. The dear son is the one in whom we have what? Redemption. Through what? His blood, right? The forgiveness of what? Of sins. Read the next one. So the dear son is now described as what? The image of what?
of the invisible. Does that explain what I thought about Salem? The supernatural being is not what? Seen. But you see, you see an image, so with the what? To function. So he says, Christ Jesus is that principal image. So when he says you are in him, are we together? You are in him. That means you are now in that image also. You are in that image. You are in that image. So the plan of God for all of humanity, being in his image, God is now fulfilling it today through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. That is why the man who is born again is the best of God. If he's really functioning in his nature, he's the best of God. He's the best of God. Say, I'm the best of God. Yes. He's the best of God. He's enabled. God will put his spirit inside him. Put his spirit inside. The unbeliever doesn't have the spirit of God. He doesn't have the spirit of God. The unsaved man doesn't have the spirit. But the believer has what? The spirit. That spirit is called light. So you are supposed to walk in the light. Hallelujah. Light. Illumination. To power something from within. The power of God. So it's easy to walk in love. It's easy to walk in love. It's easy to forgive. Praise the Lord. It's easy to give. It's easy to forgive. It's easy to walk in love. Hebrews. If I read verse 18 of that same text. Verse 18. What do you see there in verse 18? Alright, so look at Hebrews 1 quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. So when you read, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Is another way of saying what? That's my image. That's my image. Praise God. That's my image. That's my image. Look at him. You see me. Jesus says, know you not that he that has seen me has seen who? The Father. That's the image. That's the image. So he fulfills what Adam could not fulfill. He fulfills what Israel could not fulfill. Where Israel failed, he fulfills it. That's what I came to show you tonight. Where Israel failed, he fulfilled it. Where Israel failed, he fulfilled it. Praise God. Praise God. Where Adam failed, he fulfills it. He's the Son of God. I told you, just like Israel was taken through the sea, through the wilderness, Jesus was also taken through the what? Through the waters of baptism, and he goes into what? The wilderness. And he had that address, a public address. This is my what? My son. Just like Israel. So in Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 2. He says, I've done what? In this last days as what? By his son. Now read verse 3. Who brings the brightness of what? Brightness of his glory. The express image of what? Of his what? Of his character. That's the word first in there. He is the brightness of his glory. Glory to God forevermore. So he calls Jesus the what? The express image of what? Of his person. So if I'm looking to know God, to hear from God, to discover about God, who will I, which school will I go to? Which school will I go to? I'll go to Jesus. I go to Jesus. The world doesn't know him, but we know him. The world doesn't know him. The world does not know him. That is why you and I, we have to preach to the world to know Jesus. We also have to show him. Hallelujah. That's it. We got to preach to the world. Tell your neighbor, say, you are going to preach to the world. Hey, Say to the fellow, say, you are going to preach to the world. You are going to preach to the world. You have that mandate. Ask the person for me, say, have you been preaching? Answer. Don't smile. Answer the person. Tell the person, you are not answering me. Tap the person. Say, you are not answering me. Two of you are not tapping each other. Say, you are not answering me. If the brother is not tapping the sister has to tap. Say, you are not answering me. Say, bro. What? He says it. Say, bro. Why are you not answering me? Have you not been preaching? He. Say, you are going to preach to the world. Say, are you a preacher? Are you a preacher like me? Ask the person. Say, if I look at the person's eyes right now, look at the person's eyes. Look at the person's face. Say, are you a preacher like me? Say, are you a preacher like me? Is the world knowing Jesus through you? Are you preaching Jesus? Look at the person. You cannot look at the person's face. I want to look at God's face. Look at the person. Say, are you preaching? Say, are you preaching? Say, Jesus has sent you to preach. Are you obedient? Hey! Thank you. Are we together? Are we together? Tell the fellow, say, you are not answering me. Say, have you preached this week? Did you preach last week? Did you talk to somebody about Jesus? Did you talk to somebody about Jesus? Ask the fellow, say, did you talk to somebody about Jesus? Say, how many people do you talk to about Jesus? Say, are you healing the sick? Or you are counseling the sick? Say, are you casting out devils? Say, are you casting out devils? Or you are romancing with devils? Say, I don't romance with devils. I cast them out. I heal the sick. I preach the gospel. I manifest Jesus. He. Say, that is who you are. Because that is who I am. Say, I know who I am. I'm the image of God. Ask the fellow, say, are you in the image of God? Now answer that question. Answer the question. If the person says in the image, say, I know who you are. You are a preacher. Yes. That's who you are. Is it clear? Have you preached tonight? Yeah, all of us, we just preached. Glory to God. So he says that image is Jesus Christ. Glory to God forevermore. Say, I am in the image of God. So look at this, what have we said? We therefore said that in my relationship with God, also we said in my relationship with other people, I function as God's image. Don't forget. Now, we said in my relationship with God, my relationship with God is such that God is the Almighty. Are we together? God is the Almighty. So he now decides to do his work through men. And that is my relationship with God. See, what I just explained now is my relationship with God. My relationship with God is that God is Almighty. He now decides to walk through, to walk with, and walk through men. So my walk with God is not complete without other people. My walk with God is not complete. It's not complete. My walk with God is not complete. Hallelujah. My walk with God is not complete without other people. You know, we said that before, right? Let's say it again. I'm bringing it to you again and again. That my walk with God, your walk with God, is not complete without other people. It's not exclusive of other people. It's not exclusive of other people. My work with God includes other people's input into my life. Other people's input into my life is also my work with God. Is it clear? Other people's input into my life. Other people's input into my life. Also, my input into other people's lives is also my work with God. My work with God includes my input into other people's lives and other people's input into what? My life. Now, would that be negative input or positive input? Would that be spiritual input? Yes, spiritual input. So who is making a very positive and impactful spiritual input into your life? The person is part of your work with God. So begun should be that idea of my work with God is just between me and God alone. There's no way in the Bible that talks about that. You and God alone, like you and God alone. No? Are we together? You and God alone. No, there's nothing like that. It is you and God with what? So you see that triad? The Father or God, then me, then what? Other people. When God begins to reward me for my work with Him, a major part of what He will reward me for is how I treat other people. Whatsoever you do to the least of what? Of my least done to me. He that shall be greatest must what? Be the servant of all. So you cannot touch God without having touched other people. And God cannot touch you without using what? Other people. So if you have removed other people from your equation, the equation of your walk with God, add it back now. You can't subtract it. You put it back. Other people. Positive spiritual impacts. Glory to God forevermore. So look at that. Other people. Other people are part of the equation of my relationship with God. In Genesis 2:18, what did we see? I'm bringing to us the things that we have said before. Right. In Genesis 2:18, what did we see? We said that we are deficient by nature. Right? Right? Individually, we are deficient. By nature, we are deficient in isolation. We are deficient by isolation or in isolation. We are deficient. And we are what? Sufficient by what? Association. Yes. We are sufficient by association. And God wants you to recognize that. I said this in my notes. I said part of who you are in Christ. Part of who you are in Christ is that you are somebody who needs other people to function in the plan of God, His image. That's part of who you are in Christ. Part of who you are is that you are deficient by nature. Alone. And you are sufficient through healthy associations. You are deficient by nature. Alone. And you are sufficient through healthy what? Association. So what God created is not a perfect human being. What God created is a perfect humanity. You see that? The perfection in humanity is in the whole humanity, not in one person. And I told you that when God said it is not good that man should be alone, I told you that that discovery, right? That discovery was, or that disclosure was made even before man sinned. It is not good that man be alone was a statement that was made before man sinned. Is it clear? So God made man that way to not be able to function alone. And I told you, nature teaches us that. Nature, in teaching us that, is why God is going to put in two people, different people, what each person needs. I told you that. It's good to remind us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God made you like that. So like I told you, I said, it is not good that man should be alone was a statement made before man was sinned. That means salvation and redemption cannot take care of it. Because it is not a state that man fell into because of what? Sin. Salvation cannot take care of that. So you can't say because I am born again, I don't need others. No. That state was not because of man's sin. Is it clear? Aha. In fact, salvation then reveals that plan. Salvation now shows us the role of man around each other. Put everything in a clear light. Salvation. So God made you and I fundamentally relational beings. That's why when you break the code of relations, relating with people, when you break that code, things begin to go wrong. When you begin to break that code, right, of healthy relations, things begin to go wrong. Confusion begins to set in. That's why sometimes you discover that you are confused about certain things until a conversation now holds. Are we together? Yeah. The clarity you needed was not coming from heaven. The clarity you needed was present in somebody with two legs like you, one head like you, one tongue like you, and the tongue doesn't split. Just like your own, one tongue, two eyes, and the eyes are not at the back, at the front. A human being like you. So when you begin to break the code of proper and healthy godly relationships or relation with people, because you are in strife, you are in ego, I will not say sorry first, I will not be there, you will begin to walk in confusion. Sometimes you begin to fall sick. You begin to fall sick. I don't wonder for some people. The same person they say, I will never talk to this person again, is the same person that now told you what to do to get you. Well, the same person that now told you. Do this. Eat this and eat that and do this and take this. You are going to be fine. And then now take it. Praise God forevermore. I thank God for everyone around me. Are we together? So relationships, God's plan. Say that. So that shows you something quickly. If God sends me to do something, or when God sends me to do something, one of the first things He will give me is what? Relationships. Note that somewhere. Relationships. Instructions from God comes to us through relationships. God recognizes me in the midst of the relationships He has given me. So, look at you. Look at me. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at this. Israel, right? One of the children of... you have the children of Israel, the whole nation. God brings them out of what? Egypt. So, God begins to address them. So, God has a word for an Israelite. God gives to Moses. Moses then goes to the congregation. Are we together? And then gives to them. So, what does that show you? It shows you that my address is the relationships
that God has given you.
He locates you in the midst of them. Are you with me? Are we together? Look at this. Let him that stole steal no more. Was it the whole church that was stealing? No. But was that fellow in the church? So when Paul wrote, was Paul writing to that brother or writing to the church? Paul was addressing the church, right? So instructions will find you about God's plan in the midst of the company. So if I don't honor the company, I don't revere the company, and allow the place of the company around me, you will be instructionless. Anything like that. God locates you with instructions, with directions, with vision. Are we together? God locates you with miracles. God locates you with His plan. God locates you with His plan in the midst of the relationship that He has what? He has given you. Are we together? Acts 1 and 2. While all of these guys at Antioch, while they came together and fasted and prayed, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me what? Barnabas and Saul. So you see, a major direction now comes to Paul's ministry from the company God has given to him. So God searches for you in the midst of that company. He communicates His resources to you in the midst of the company. Do you get it? So has God put two or three people around you? He is going to locate you and make His supply to you via that company. And if He's going to do that, He therefore expects you to be in a healthy relationship in that company. That is why you cannot walk in His plan with pride in your heart. Because the pride will not make you to receive from the channels He uses. Men. And He ain't going to come to you. God ain't going to come to you. He's going to send men. Are we together? He's going to send men. So that's why you can walk in His plan when there's pride in your heart. Because you are not going to receive from people. You're not going to receive from them. So you can't walk in His plan. Are we together, church? You can't fulfill His dreams and vision for your life. Amen. Notice what we describe as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is actually how we attend to relationships. Patience, long suffering, self control, kindness, joy, meekness, goodness, faithfulness. The fruits of the Spirit. Are we together? Notice that the fruit of the Spirit is not between you and God. It's between you and other men. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's between you and other people. The fruit of the Spirit is between you and other men. So it's relational, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is how we build God's plan amongst the saints. By the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is relational. It has to do with you and the others in the church. You and the others, humanity. The fruit of the Spirit has to do with you and the others. He keeps the environment, the relationship, He keeps it clean and healthy. The fruit of the Spirit. He keeps it clean. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. The fruit of the Spirit. So what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Is actually, look at it. It's the resultant effect of the indwelling of the Spirit. So the Spirit is given to us so we can build our relationships properly. The Spirit of God. To function in God's image. The Spirit of God is given to us so we can build our relationships well. The fruits of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is given to us so that we can build our relationships well. Love, meekness, patience. That is not between you and God. Patience is between you and another man. Self-control is not between you and God. Self-control is between you and a fellow man. So it comes with the fruit of the Spirit. So what we call the fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit in building healthy relationships. Because God works through relationships. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? So look at it. Let's say some things quickly. So we'll go to 9. God recognizes me in the midst of the relationships that He has given to me. Notice, not in the midst of the relationships that you have found. There are relationships that you have found, there is one He has given you. And if you despise the one He has given you because of the ones you have found, then you will fall into the, in the beginning it was not so. He's not going to violate your will, but you will not have His plan. You have His plan. You won't have His plan. So God recognizes me, I say that again, in the midst of my relationships. Whenever God is found separating people from relationships, it is so as to bring them into ones that He establishes. Are we together? Where His plans can flourish. So one of the signs of spiritual immaturity is not having stable relationships. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity. So when you see someone who doesn't have a stable relationship, are we together? Are we together? And you know, we spoke about diverse kind of relationships, right? 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 When you see someone who doesn't have a stable, because look at this, look at this, look at this. Notice that to have a stable relationship, you have to be a forgiving person. Yes or no? What we have said, you have to be a patient person. Yes or no? Don't forget where we are taking this study on. I'll start talking about this on Sunday morning. How to keep and guard relationships that God has brought to us. That's what we're looking at. That intelligence we're looking at on Sunday morning. And that's the reason why we did this study. We are doing this study. So you notice that to keep relationships, will you need to demonstrate the virtue of honor? Do you think honor is needed in keeping relationships? Is honor needed? Is honor needed? Honor is needed. So look at something else that is needed. Look at it. In keeping relationships, will you need persuasion? Look at this. This guy said, I'm not going to be your friend again. If you're not going to be my friend again, so be it. Will that relationship be kept? So, will you need persuasion? The Matthew 18 that we read, that if someone has an ought against you, you go to, is that persuasion? Is that persuasion? So, does keeping relationships require persuasion? Now, if someone is persuading another, will that other person also need to be persuadable? So, being persuadable, does relationship need it? So you can see those virtues. So not having stable relationships is a sign of those things. Not being humble. You see that? Not being forgiving. Not being persuadable. Ego. Pride. Are we together? Are we together? So that's why we said it's a sign of spiritual what? Immaturity. Now look at this. The spiritual immaturity need not be on your side. Don't always blame yourself. It can just be on the other party's side. Because he now said, if he does not hear you. Did you see that? Did you see that? If he doesn't hear you, then he says, you go with two or three. If he doesn't hear them, he says, tell the church. If he doesn't hear the church. So the other person can just be the spiritually immature person. But the bottom line is that it is a sign of spiritual immaturity. You can lose business relationships because you are spiritually immature. Are we together? You can lose marital relationships because you are spiritually immature. A sibling, whatever. I mean, we talk about relationships generally, we mention it. Relationships can be damaged. Can be damaged. If we do not, know how to, if we are not spiritual, let me put it that way. If we are not spiritual. So God relates with me in the midst of my relationships. I try to bring out all of this one by one so that I don't miss anything. Because I'll be building multitudes on this later on. God relates with me in the what? In the midst of my relationships. Look at it again. I wrote it again. I said, God uses my relationships to relate with me. He uses my relationships to do what? To relate with me. So he will provide for my needs using my relationships. So there is every reason for you to have strong and spiritual relationship. What? Skills. Is it clear? See, I can almost get my shares to communicate with you. Should I share it? If you say yes, I'll tell you. Are we together? Yes. Tell the person by me. What do you tell the person by me? Say, are you relating well? Tell that fellow, say, are you relating well? Look at the faces. Some people don't like our faces in this church. We only like our voices. Say, are you relating well? Say, brother, sister, are you relating well? Can God find you? Can God locate you using the relationship he has given you? Say, you. Uh-huh. You know, you means there's a question mark there, right? Uh-huh. Are we together? Ha. Huh. So, my God-given relationship is actually my address. I wish I can say this more clearly. Keep trying. God relates with me using the relationship he has what? Given me. That means, look at me, everybody. Look at me. I'll say it again another way. Look at me. God surrounds me with his people so he can reach me. Out of that association will be out of God's plan. Out of God's plan means I am vulnerable to the enemy. Go and check the what's it called? The world. Anytime a predator wants to prey on the herd or a community of what's it called prey, he looks for the one that is most isolated. The most isolated is the most vulnerable. So it's a law of living. That's why before the enemy catches on a Christian, before he, before he pounces on a Christian, are we together? He first of all separates that person from the local assembly. Separates him from the church. Just go check it. Anyway, go and check it. Go and check Christians. If they know any Christian that does not go to church again, just check it. If you can talk to them, check how they used to be when they were there. They are worse. I'm not joking. There are some people that will tell you that Christianity is between me and God. You are who? And God. They are worse off. They are worse. They are worse. So before Satan can get you, he will unplant you somewhere and then plant you in another. Look at Judas Iscariot. He now had a liaison with the Pharisees. He didn't know he was the target. You won't know you are the target. You know you are the target. You know you are the target. You think he's being woke or woking? Are we together? You're woke. Ah, I don't wake up. There's a way that's similar right to man. It leads to destruction. So God surrounds me with what? His people. Don't forget that pronoun. His people. God surrounds me with his people so that he can what? He can reach me easily. So can I make God's work difficult by foiling relationships? I can make God's work difficult by not handling relationships he has given to me well. I can make God's work difficult. That's why when a pastor comes into your life who is not selfish minded, or when you get into a strong church, one of the things the church does is that the church looks into your relationships. Like you know, when you are inspecting. Yeah. The church will act like an inspector and look into your associations. What are you doing with that person? Okay, that's fine. Right. What about that one? Who is that? This person just mind his business. That is his business. And I'm not comfortable with you. You get out of that place to a place where they will not care. Are we together? So if they're having cancer, they will be patching you spiritually. When you catch leprosy, they will patch you spiritually because they don't care about your spiritual health. But God, a church that recognizes the place of relationship in God's plan, is very loud, deliberate about the kind of association and relationships you form. Deliberate. You can't be in a close circle with people who don't pray. You can't be. They don't pray. They don't study God's word. They are not zealous towards church. Somebody who is not zealous towards church, zealous towards the things of God. Somebody that when you look at the person, you don't feel like I gotta do better. So you want to make that person, you want to bring that person to your inner circle. No, now. Sometimes even you see, parishioners or church members trying to make a marital decision with someone like that. Hey, you know Lori Orule. You understand Yoruba? Are we together? The person that sister or that brother does not fall into the category of persons you can choose at all, except you are not really interested in a strong Christian life. Are we together? He doesn't go to church. Doesn't have disciples. There's nobody that is growing in the knowledge of the Lord because of him or because of her. It's not an option. Don't forget, I said, if I make what ought not to be an option, will God stop me? No. But will I bear the consequence? Wallahi, I will. You will. See, I stick with this plan. That's it. I stick with this plan. I'm not wise in my own ways. I'm not intelligent in my own ways. I choose to be foolish for the Lord. I know that's not foolishness, right? That is actually true wisdom. Is it clear? So, is God particular about relationships? Is God particular about relationships? He is. Is he interested in your relationships? Does he have something to say about your relationships? Instructions to give? Yes. So look at this, and then I'll close. Just give me some 5-10 minutes. I'll close. So look at this. I said, no matter how vast, no matter how big a task is, no matter how big the plan of God is for my life, the first thing He gives me is what? Relationships. Relationships. So the first supply of God, are we together? Are we together? Is relationship. In fact, sometimes the relationships will now give you the vision for living. So coming into relationship many times will now be how you come into the vision of God for your life. Did you see that? Did you see that? Coming into the relationship will now become how you came into the knowledge of His vision. So He has a vision for you. That's the first. The next thing He does, He has a plan for you. Yes. The next thing He does, the next most important thing after having a plan for you, is that He brings a people. So sometimes it is the people that will now even enlighten you about the plan, because you are clueless. The people will now show you, because He addresses the congregation. He is in the midst of the congregation. So you will have to depend on the congregation to have direction. That's why I say all of this, Christianity is a thing of my heart. It's a thing of the heart. It's only God that knows who I am. It's a lie. If you are serving God, everybody will know. It's only God that knows who I am. It depends on which company you are in. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? Are you getting me? So look at that. He brings what? A people. So the first thing God asks is what? Division, right? The plan, right? The first thing God asks is what? The plan. Say the plan. The vision. First. Does He have a plan for your life? Does He have a vision for your life? What's the next important thing He brings? Relationship. So the provision for God's vision is in the relationships He brings you. See, including those who partner with your ministry. Relationship. Look at me, everybody. Will Jesus need a tomb for His body to be put? Did God bring Him a relationship with the Arimathea? Yes. Did He handle it well? Did Jesus handle it well? So sometimes life can be difficult and challenging because you don't handle your relationship well. The provisions for your life is in the company. Is there. So I ought to have healthy spiritual relationship skills. I ought to walk in love. I ought to be patient. Are we together? Some people have prayed to God. They have prayed and fasted. Oh God, prayed and fasted for days and weeks, months. And every time God brings the solution, they use their bad relationship skills to ruin it. Are we together? Say, I'm led of God. I don't use my hands to ruin God's plans. Because God cannot be mocked. If you pray, He will answer. What do you do with the answers? You just mess it up. Because you don't have the word of God in your heart. I'll continue with you on Sunday. So look at this. It says man will function in His image and will function amongst one another. So my relationship, or the relationship will now function through persuasion, Does marital relationship require persuasion? Eh? Eh? Ah, or you don't know? You don't know? Don't you require persuasion? Eh? I spoke to him, he said, no, I just backed up. Oh God. God do God's life. Don't you require persuasion? You don't know what I say. See, everybody is pretending. See, everybody is there. You know you require persuasion? You go again. Ah, Pastor, that is not easy. But you can evangelize. Eh? You evangelize me. Oh yeah, good. I evangelize me. Tell anybody evangelize. It requires communication. Communication. I'm not the talking type. I'm not the calling type.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not the useful type. You rather have that one, yeah? I had the eating type. Are we together? It will require honor. That's number three. I'm giving you another list. I said, God will relate with me through my relationships, right? No matter how vast the task is that he has given me, no matter how big the plan is that he has for me, the first thing he will give me is what? Relationships. I now said, that relationship will now function through persuasion. Persuasion. It will function through communication. It will function through honor. Honor. Are we together? It will function through patience. Patience. Tell your neighbor, say patience. Patience. Hey. Wait. Do you notice that all of this is a mention? Does God also use it for man? Do you think God is patient with man? You now don't want to be patient. God is patient with man. You don't want to be patient with another man. He tells you how God has always get his job done. So that is part of what makes him God. He is never exhausted in patience. So it's part of how he gets his work done. So if you are a man in his work or after his work, you are patient. 5 and 6. Patience. Patience. It will require what? Love and affection. Love. Relationship will now require sacrifice. So you must learn how to sacrifice. Is it clear, church? Sacrifice. To build relationships. To function in that association. Sacrifice. Who ate my gala? Who ate my gala? I was supposed to eat it at night. Oh, that's all I had. I bought it yesterday. I was supposed to eat it at lunch. Who ate my gala? Oh, we are going to buy it now. See, next time when they see your gala there, they will not eat it again, but you have lost something else. And I hope somebody is saying, I want my gala, not anything else. You don't get it, it's fine. How is it together? It will require what? Love, affection. It will require what? Sacrifice. Someone say sacrifice. Sacrifice. Someone say sacrifice. Sacrifice. Someone say sacrifice. Sacrifice. It will require what? Sacrifice. See, one of the reasons why you don't recognize people's sacrifices is because you are not a sacrificing type. You don't do it, so you don't recognize it. You don't do it. You are selfish. So when others sacrifice, you don't see it. It's not that you're a bad person. You are just clueless. And that's bad. It requires sacrifice. This relationship with the people God has put around you will require loyalty and commitment. It will require what? Loyalty and what? Commitment. What does loyalty mean? Loyalty means to swear on your own self. Are we together? To stick with somebody. That's loyalty. It will require loyalty. It will require commitment. Commitment means to continue to do the same things that I said I would do even after it is no more convenient. That is commitment. And look at me, let me say this. Commitment is not a confession. It is an activity. Is it clear? Commitment is not what? A confession. Oh! For example, look at this. I'll close here. For example, look at this. I think which of the, what's it called? Illustrations I should give you. Should I give you a real life story? I just give you a scenario. Okay, let me give you a scenario. Now imagine that you were with somebody, let's just outside a city, and then let me give you real life. But I'll put real life like a scenario. This is what happened to me. So I told someone some time ago, around the end of the year, a particular year, like it was 2023 or 2022. And then we're supposed to do something. And I said, we're at a meeting. So we're supposed to do something after a meeting. I said, I won't be able to do this now. But what will happen is that, don't worry, in a month or two's time, I will come to Ibadan. In a month or two's time, I will come to Ibadan. So when I come to Ibadan, we are going to what? Do it. Now, interestingly, where I was going to pass by Ibadan to Ilorin. But because of the way that moment was, I can't wait now, I have to return to the city. But in 2 months' time, I will come to Ibadan. Then we'll do it. Now, look at this. After the 2 months, the person now to reach me. Persuade. I wasn't there to do it. I won't tell you what it was. I was there to do it. Now, look at this. And this is what I want to mention. Is that in 2 months' time, I'll come to Ibadan. Are we together? Was that a statement? Now, look at me. It took how long to make that statement? Maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds, right? So it took me about 3 seconds to make the statement. Now, on the day that I said I would do it, what I said I would do is most likely going to take me how long to do it? How long did it take me to get to Ibadan? Maybe it will take me some 3 hours or 4 hours. Before I now start doing the thing I said I will go to do, maybe it'll take me another 3 years in Ibadan or 4. Then maybe there will be challenges. Then before I now return to what? Ilorin. So what I said I would do took me how long to say it? About 2-3 seconds. Right? Well meaning. But in executing it was going to take me how long? Maybe 6 to 8 hours. Are we together? That's how commitment is. Many times, look at this, commitment is realized at the point of doing what you said what you will do. At the point of doing it, that is commitment. So it's easy to make statements that looks like commitment. Is it clear? But commitment is not in what you said. Commitment is sin. Commitment is actually the unveiling. Are we together? Of the activity. That's what I mean. But commitment is not what you verbally say. Confession. Commitment is actually doing it. When it is not what? Convenient. That is commitment. So building relationships, I'll close here, also therefore requires what? Loyalty requires what? Sacrifice, that is giving. Requires forgiveness, that is persuasion. Forgiveness requires honor. Honor many times also requires, or is expressed through sacrifice. Requires communication, love, and affection. And all of these virtues, are we together, are necessary if we are going to flourish in God's plan. Notice, like I said, God himself now has to function via persuasion. Yes or no? Yes or no? God now has to function via persuasion. Yes or no? Do you think God walks in honor? Do you think God actually walks in honor? Yes, God honors the institutions that he has set in place. Are we together? If I look at this, this looks very funny, but it shows you what honor is. That you set up something, you yourself now come under that structure. The fact that God, in saving man, and has decided to come in the form of man, the fact that he came through the womb of a woman was honoring the structure he has set. Are we together? Notice God has things to communicate, but he now chooses to use human language. That is honoring the structure he has set. Submitting himself under what he created. Are we together? He now has to honor John the Baptist, like I told you, for the ministry too. If I look at this, today. This is very funny, simple, but you might not notice. Notice that when God addresses you, does he address you by your name? He addresses you by your name. When he called on Samuel, was it God that named him Samuel? No. But God now has to fall under a structure that a man creates. He now has to call you by your name. He appears to Moses in the wilderness. And he said what? Moses. Why will God address me by a name that a human being gave to me? That is submitting under a structure. That is humility. That he set a structure. He now wants to do things. He himself now follows the protocol he sets. Sometimes as a leader, sometimes you just have to observe that. So God himself demonstrates that virtue of honor. God demonstrates that virtue of love and affection. A burning desire for something, for someone. He says, touch not my anointed. That's a burning desire for his man. God does that. God also has to walk through the channels of communication in building his work, his plan, his relationship with man. Patience, long suffering. God's character, in fact, the entire Old Testament books is described by one word: God's long suffering and patience. Are we together? God now has to use that element of long suffering. Loyalty. God is now having to be loyal to his man. Faithfulness. Sacrifice. Like I said, sacrifice. So these virtues are necessary in building supernatural plan of God and building supernatural relationships. I say what I said, I say it again, and I close. God relates with me in the midst of relationships. No matter how vast his task is for me or before me, no matter how big his plan and vision is for my life, the next thing he supplies after vision is relationships. For me to function in that relationship, he now expects that I will demonstrate the virtues of persuasion, of communication, honor, love and affection, patience, loyalty and faithfulness, commitment, sacrifice. Just as he does, I will have to keep these virtues before me in building and guarding my relationships. I'll talk a bit more about this on Sunday, then we'll get into how we actually keep our relationships supernaturally. Are we together? I've been blessed tonight. Say, I honor my relationships. See, I honor God's plan and I esteem associations God has put around me.